Matthew in chapter 22, we're going to be reading 1 and the following. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. Nobody else saw him but the king." Now listen. "And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Tonight we have a continuation of what happened in our text on Wednesday night of last week. In Matthew in chapter 21, we had the parable of the landowner, and we've seen the different slaves that came to work or that came to the vineyard to acquire fruit, but they weren't. They were cast out. They were thrown out. One was even beaten, and then one was absolutely killed. And we know that one of those slaves was John the Baptist. The other one was our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the parable was speaking about. Here in chapter 22, we have a parable that's very, very similar. We're going to see people sent. We're going to see people ran off. But we're also going to see a gospel that is given out. And this is going to be the supper. This is going to be the feast that is ready. And we have to understand how intense this situation was in the passage of Scripture. Christ Jesus is being challenged by the authority, which he was absolute authority, of course, but he was being challenged by the authority in Jerusalem. He is being questioned, he is being tempted, and he is being tried, and all of these different things by the Pharisees and the religious elite. And then in the last parable, we see there's a parable in verse 28 in chapter 21, parable of the two sons. Then there's the parable of the landowner. And then here in chapter 22, he begins again. And chapter 22 follows, I mean, right off the back of 21 here, in the same sitting, okay? It's at the same time. There wasn't any time gaps here, okay? This is what we have to understand. Christ Jesus was face to face with the most religious and the most elitist people in the world, the Jews. They knew everything there was to know about religion. They knew everything there was to know about the law. They walked the part. They talked the part. They acted the part. They dressed the part. They were the elite. Jesus, this carpenter, prophet, priest, king by some. Jesus comes. Can you imagine Jesus' hands being a carpenter growing up? I can look at Jerry's hands. Jerry's hands are big where he's worked. Jerry's worked his whole life. You ever seen a carpenter's hands at the end of his life? Fingers are fat, big, strong hands. Jesus was a carpenter. 33 years old, around about that time when all this was taking place. You can see that he was a man that, just a common man. Here he is, he's face to face. This poor carpenter is face to face with the most, the meanest. I mean, these were like wolves, guys. Men in the Jewish church of the day. So he tells them at the end of the last parable about the landowner, he tells them that if they don't trust in him, if they don't trust in the one that was sent, they would be broken in this life and ground to powder in the next. At telling them this, they don't like it. They begin to reason in their hearts, not saying anything to him. This is what happens in chapter 22. This is what follows. Listen to what it says. And Jesus answered. Answered what? They weren't talking to him. But Jesus knew their hearts, right?
Yes, he did.
And so Jesus answers and he says, they weren't even speaking, but Jesus answers. I love that. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. Now, here we have, just like in the earlier parable, the king is God the Father. The Son is going to be the groom, which is God the Son, and then the bride we know is going to be the church. Originally the Jewish people, and then one of y'all came in and told me, where is he? There he is. Said it was the Gentiles, us, last week. And he was right when he said that. He was. And what is your name? I forget. That's right. So, and you were right when you said that. And we're going to see some of the same principles in this tonight. And I want you to pay attention. It says to be compared, and it says the kingdom, let me read that again. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king, like God the Father, who gave a wedding feast for his son, which would be Christ Jesus. And he sent out his slaves. And now Jesus is saying this right in front of these religious elite. And if he didn't make them mad before, he's really fixing to tick them off now. All right. And this is what I love about Christ is he just headlong goes in and he tells them exactly what it's going to be. It says he gave a wedding feast for a son and he sent out his slaves. Last time we looked, the slaves were who? The prophets and the priests, right? And so, and then you had John the Baptist come in and then the son come in the last parable. But in this parable, the slaves are going to represent the prophets. They're going to represent the priests. But they're also going to represent those that are bringing the glad tidings of the gospel of peace. The ministers of the gospel, the apostles, the disciples, those men that come to bring the glad tidings of the doctrine of peace, which is the gospel message. And so we have God the Father as the King. We have Jesus Christ as the Son. We have the wedding feast as the gospel. And we have slaves that are sent out to go to bring people in. And they were sent out to go to the Jew first. Listen to what it says. Verse 3, and he sent out slaves. They were slaves. They were servants. They were ministers. To call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. They had been invited. It pertained to them. You ever got a wedding invite in the mail? Well, we got one from Shirley's son. Got a little thing in the mail. Got a little invite. It had a picture and it had all the stuff. Now, let me explain to y'all about that wedding invite. I could either go or not go. But here's the deal with the wedding. I'm not going and preparing anything for it. Nothing. I don't have to do anything for it. I was invited to it. I don't have to prepare the food. I don't have to prepare the groom. I don't even have to prepare the bride. I don't have to prepare any of the stuff. All I got to do is show up, right? I don't even have to prepare the dance hall in the back where people go back there and they fellowship and have a good time. Don't have to do any of those things. Why? Because it's already been prepared. The invite had already been given out. Yes. The invite had been given out to the Jews, right? Yes. Here in the passage of Scripture, the gospel message was first to go to the Jewish people. Yes. And in fact, it did. Upon hearing it, we know that they rejected it. Listen to what it says. It says that they had been invited to the wedding feast and they were unwilling to come. Verse 4. And he sent out other slaves, servants, ministers, saying, tell those who have been invited. You see, so his patience and his mercy is long-suffering to the Jewish people. It's his patience is long-suffering. At some point, it's going to have an end. But while we're going here in the passage, you see that there is a lot of patience and a lot of suffering that the Lord has for the Jews. 4,000 years had passed. 4,000 years. And here we have. And he says, go out again and tell them they've been invited. All they got to do is come. Now, what person in their right mind? I'm talking a dining hall that is completely furnished. You don't got to bring nothing, Willie Mae. This ain't a potluck. Okay? We ain't at home slaving over something. You ain't got to bring nothing. All you got to do is show up, sit down, eat the steaks, drink, eat until your belly's full. Experience the fellowship, experience the love, experience the fun. All you have to do is come to it. And Jesus is saying that the gospel has went out to the Jews. Then he tells them, go out to them again. Tell them again. Listen to what it says here. And he sent out other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. The work has been done. He tells them, he says, the work has been done. Everything's ready. All you have to do is come. But they paid no attention. And listen, because it's not just the religious elite that we're going to hit on tonight. They paid no attention. Some went to his merchandise. Some went back to the farm. These were not the religious elite. Listen to what it says. We had all sorts of Jewish people here in our text that were neglecting or not coming to the gospel message. Listen to what it says here. But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm. These are our country folk. One went to his own farm and the other went to, let it rain, Lord. And the other one went to where? His business. And so you see here that it's not just talking about the religious, but also the regular people too. The gospel message went out to the Jewish people first, and they did not hear it. They did not want to have anything to do with it. So some go back to the farm, some go back to their business. And verse 6, and the rest Who are the rest? The rest are the Pharisees. The rest are the Sadducees. The rest are the elders. The rest are the religious elite. It says the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. These were the Pharisees. The king was enraged by this, as you can imagine, because the king had prepared a supper for his son and his son's company, the bride and the bridegroom. This was all on the king's dime. He was doing it himself. And he wanted the people there, but instead of coming, they abused his slaves and even killed them. So the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. And we know this is exactly what happened to Jerusalem about 40 years later. This is what happened. It was sacked and Jerusalem was completely destroyed. I'm talking leveled. Verse 8. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." He's talking about the Jews. "Go therefore to the main highways." Now who's he talking about? Us. "Go therefore to the main highways." This is what the Lord is saying. He is saying, go out. And whoever you come in contact with, invite them to come in. Invite them. Everything's ready, just invite them to come. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." And I want to tell you tonight, before we go any further, and I may not go any further, I want to tell you tonight, the gospel message is still being broadcasted and proclaimed out there. The wedding has still, and it is still, the table is still prepared. And you say, well, that's just going to happen in the end when we go to be with the Lord. Yes, absolutely. But I want you to understand something else. That while we are here in this life, there is a table that is prepared for the saints of God that we can come and dine at on a daily basis. Through His grace and through His love, through His faithfulness, through His mercy, bind my wandering heart to Thee, O Lord. And it's through His grace that that happens. And so we've got to understand that the table is laid out. And anybody, all those, anyone in the highways, anyone in the byways, anyone in the swamps, over the levee, down in the ditch, I don't care where you're at, you have been invited to the Lord's table. Will you come? Amen. Amen. The gospel brings good news. It's the proclamation. Power of God to salvation. Will you come? Tonight, I send the gospel out right here from the pulpit. Yes. Now, you came into here tonight. But I send it out to all of you. Will you come? The Lord is calling. Will you come to the table and feast on the body and on the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Will you take Him all and take every bit of Him? Or will you just practice religion the rest of your life? Because in the end, He will know the difference. Let's read on. Let's go. Verse 10. "And those slaves went out into the streets," and they start gathering them up. Start gathering them up. A hodgepodge. This is what we got in here tonight. A hodgepodge. We got people from almost home, and y'all are from everywhere. I don't know if that's more of a hodgepodge than I could even dare to dream of. I mean, y'all are from all over the place. A hodgepodge. I'm not from here. I'm from Grant Parish. We got people from all over the place, and listen to what it says here. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found. They gathered them all together, evil and good. They didn't know who was who, evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. Now the slaves didn't see it. The servants didn't see it. The people that was around didn't see it. They all thought everybody, because it was customary to put on your wedding clothes. You're going to a wedding, you put on wedding clothes. Well, as a Christian, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's called a robe of righteousness that we receive so that we then can stand before God the Father dressed in His righteousness. Well, what happens is people come into the church that are not dressed in that righteousness, but they pretend that they are their whole life. And one day they will be found out. And who he is speaking to here is he's speaking to the Pharisees, and he's speaking to the scribes and the elders and the Sadducees and those that religious. They had a religious tendency to do religious things, but their heart was far from the Lord. Listen to what it says. And he said to them, or verse 11, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, there was one that stood out like a sore thumb. And he stood out like a sore thumb because it was sin, and he wasn't cloaked in the blood of his son. He stood out like a sore thumb. He saw there a man undressed, not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And he was speechless. Why was he speechless? I'll tell you why he was speechless. The same reason why that everyone that does not know Jesus Christ will be speechless in the last day. And it's because their own conscience has shown them that they're wrong and shown them that they're wicked and has shown them that there is a Savior and that there is a God and that they have not worshiped Him their whole life. When they've had every opportunity, the gospel has went out over and over and over and over from pulpit across the world all over the place, and people still won't hear. Still won't hear.
Right. Amen.
Even though they're sitting in the pews. But the king comes in and he sees,
yes,
that he ain't dressed in the robe of righteousness. The man's conscience bears witness to this. He doesn't say a word, and the reason why is because he can't. Because he knows his whole life was a sham. His whole life, he put on his robes, and he put on his, he packed his King James. His whole life, he packed, and he went, and he filled the pew, and he did all the good works, and he did paid all the tithes, and he did all the things, but to no avail because he was not clothed in the wedding garments, the blood of Jesus. Listen to what happens. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness. In that place, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He says, bind him hand and foot, throw him into outer darkness. He said, he don't belong here. He's a hypocrite. He's tried to look like everybody else, but I'm the judger of man's hearts, what the Lord is saying, and bind him and get him out of here. He's a hypocrite. Throw him in the outer darkness. In that place, there shall be weeping. That's crying and gnashing of teeth. It's a terrible place. Hell. And guys, we have to understand what Jesus is telling the Pharisees here. He is calling them out and he is calling their hand. He is saying, you hypocrites, I can see past your mask. I can see right past it. And I don't know, nobody's got on a mask in here tonight, I don't think. Not even Willie May. And that's all right. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people that wear masks. Been wearing them for years. Not just with COVID. And Jesus can see right through them. I'm talking right through them. So if you want to go down that road, you're more than welcome. But one day Jesus will find you out. Verse 14, it says, for many are called. And it's true. For 2,000 years since the gospel's been given, many have been called. Many, the word has went out to many. I'm giving a call right now to everybody that's in this room. Many are called. Many are invited. I'm calling you right now. But few are chosen. And the chosen are those that come. The chosen are those that come. Many were called at the preaching of Noah as he prepared the ark. But only eight got on the boat. For many are called, but few are chosen. Christ here, as I end this, Christ here is addressing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He's addressing the hypocrisy of the Sadducees, the Essenes, the scribes, the elders, the chief priests, the lawyers, and doctors of the law. He is addressing their hypocrisy. And he is telling them the gospel message has went out. Now it's going out to the Gentiles. Because they will hear it. You will be found out one day. The mask will be removed. And your true heart will be found out. Amen. This is what Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And so he didn't speak to them very lightly. He actually was pretty rough with the religious elite. I mean, he got right up in their face and he talked to them and told them the truth about the gospel and where they were wrong. They understood what he was saying. And so tonight, I hope you have a better understanding of the parable of the wedding feast. If you can, let's stand.